is 8:52. We're at 64 degrees in West Bend, and joined in the studio this morning for a community conversation by Captain Ken Aslan from the West Bend Fire Department. Thanks for coming in, Kenny.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me here again.
Good to see you. And where people are starting to think about back to school, and the West Bend Fire Department's actually got a new program you're phasing in.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the school starts in about 3 weeks. So the West Bend Fire Department has been working with the West Bend School District, as well as the other private schools in the area, on making sure we keep enforcement of all of the things that could start fires in schools. We needed a catchy name, so we called it the FAISE program, F-A-I-S-E, Fire Awareness in Schools Education. So if you are a fan of our Facebook page, make sure to like the West Bend Fire Department Facebook page, and you'll see something every day this week and next week that promotes something safe in schools, such as storage. So stuff like things that can start fires and impede any sprinkler system problems. So stuff like that where you got to be sure to be 18 inches from the ceiling. If it's a sprinklered building, or 24 inches from the ceiling, if it's not sprinklered.
Okay. I'm picturing back to our drama club closet in high school. It's probably a good thing you never looked in there. It would probably just have given you just, it was not very fire safe.
No, as a matter of fact, the drama club and everything, we try to make sure that things are stored orderly and we have a lack of things that can start on fire. And I had friends in school who were actors, and I understand the people that built the sets as well. And I understand what they wanted to do. And I love plays. My wife and I still go to our alma mater, Cardinal Stritch plays. And we are friends with people that build the sets, but we have to make sure that we keep a safe eye on those things, and not have a lot of extra wood pieces hanging around, not have a lot of extra flammables that are open. So, you know, all of the chemicals that are used in paints and everything. So we have to make sure to keep those things stored properly and not have those things out in the open.
I'm thinking some of what happens too is a lot of times doors that probably shouldn't get blocked open in schools do get blocked open for this reason or that reason, and that's probably something else you're looking at?
Right. Actually, exit doors are, there's actually three parts of that. Blocking open the doors, any fire doors, because when we talk about the fires that can start in schools, and we talk about the spread of smoke, and when smoke happens, it's blinding and choking, and you can't see and you can't breathe smoke, obviously. You need 21% oxygen to survive. And especially in today's modern society, we've got a lot of plastics and hydrocarbons. So storage bins that are made of plastic. And when they burn, those things burn and release not only the smoke, but unburned plastic particles. And that's just fuel for the fire as well. Those things start on fire in the air. And even if they don't start on fire, if you block a fire door and the smoke comes down the hallway, you're choking, your eyes are burning, and you may get out and you may not feel the effects right away, but those things are cancer causing as well. So that'll cause you, to take 5-7 years off your life if something like that happens. And so make sure to not block open the fire doors. And as well, the other two parts of the doors are not blocking the exits. We want to make sure that if the fire occurs in a building, we want to make sure those exits are clear, and that you can have a safe path. And the other part is locks on the doors. And we're dealing with not just the fires so you can get out quickly. We're also dealing with other safety issues in the world. And we want to make sure we want to keep people out, but we want to make sure those doors are accessible. You don't want to put chain locks on those things to not let people out when they need to get out. But you want to make sure that a door such as a panic bar or something, a twist lock, something that makes it easy to get out but doesn't allow other people in.
Now I'm thinking back again to my high school days, and we had these big folding metal gates that they would pull across lock to block off part of a wing or whatever for a particular thing. Those may or may not be real safe fire-wise, huh?
That's correct. And if they are in there, they are allowed under certain conditions. But if you're within a gate area, usually there's an exit You may have an exit down the hallway past that gate, but somewhere in the area that you're in, there's always going to be an exit. There should be two exits, actually, that you'll be able to get out of. So if people are using gates in the schools, and if you go to a school and someone has a gate locked off, always make sure you know where the nearest exit is, because it's going to save your life. You're going to want to know where that exit closest to you is.
And you know what? That's not a bad idea in general, regardless of whether you're in a school building or a hotel or a dorm or a restaurant.
Absolutely. Because every time I enter a building, I'm always looking at the exits. And not even in school fires. We'll say the fire in Rhode Island, where the nightclub fire, and people went to the exit that they came in, even though there was three other exits that were closer to them. If you watch the video, if you ever look at the video of the station nightclub fire, there's exits near the stage that actually started on fire, but people didn't go toward, and it's clearly lit with the exit sign, but people are unaware that they can go. They always go to the path that they came through rather than being aware of the closest exits.
Do you think that sometimes people just look at that exit sign and go, yeah, I see the sign, but where the heck do I go from here?
I think it's just a matter of people don't plan. They just don't plan for the worst case scenario. People just kind of go throughout their daily lives because we encounter it all the time. People, like, let's say when we're driving lights and sirens, and people don't, how often in a lifetime does somebody have a fire truck, ambulance, or a police car pull up behind them with lights and siren? They don't always know to pull over to the right, even though we've learned it in driver ed. They don't really know, and they take a stance. They just pull over to the left, or they come to a complete stop. And so in a person's lifetime, they're never prepared for something that's going to happen, or if it does ever happen in their lifetime. So if we practice a little bit more vigilance and think about things that could happen, and we go into a restaurant or go into a school or some other building, and we're looking for exits just in case something happens, it'll be better outcomes for everybody.
Especially if it's your first time in that particular spot.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because when I go into a building, I'm looking for exits, and I'm looking for what's in the hallways, and where am I going to go? Let's say a theater. When I'm sitting there watching a movie, I know where the exits are. I'm looking for the exit lights, and I know where I came in. I also know where I can go out, even though I never came in that door ever.
Right, right. Speaking of practicing, they still do monthly fire drills in the schools?
Yes. So fire drills are that's by state code. So the fire drills are practiced monthly. And actually, once a year, the fire department at each school goes and actually witnesses one of those fire drills. So they go for time and try to be orderly. And hopefully, over a course of how many ever years someone's in a school, if there is ever a fire, then the children will exit orderly. The teachers are really good about making sure to keep track of all their students, that all the students know where the meeting place is. It's one of the things we preach. We'll talk next month probably about Fire Prevention Month coming up in October. And so whether you're in your school or in your home, you want to have a meeting place and make sure everybody that was in the building is accounted for.
Sure, sure. But otherwise, it's still basically the same. It's the orderly line, don't talk, get out the door.
Right. Try to keep your talk to a minimum. Make sure you go and orderly and quietly and be calm about it. Even if you are in a real fire, you don't want to panic. If you panic, it's going to cause people to run over other people, and it's just going to be a bad situation in the end. And we're going to have to actually then expend resources to go rescue people and at the same time try to put out the fire.
Sure, sure. What else you want to talk about?
Let's see. We can talk about some of the other things that so Dave Ross at the high school wanted me to cover a couple of the other things. One of the things was the doors. So we want to make sure at schools we don't have combustibles on or around the doors. So as much as we love to put stuff up, paper and other decorations, we should really, within 36 inches of the door, not have any decorations, any papers. We can talk about the rugs. Actually, that's the thing on our Facebook page today. school rugs in particular should have a class one rating. And so that limits the flammability of the rug. And even though these rugs are a little expensive, it's an era of tight budgets in the schools as well as anywhere. And but we want to make sure that that rug has a class one rug tag on it for a fire rating, because you just can't bring any old rug. And like I talked about with the storage bins are just basically solid gasoline. And the same thing with our carpets and our rugs these days. That's made of hydrocarbons, made of oil-based stuff. And so we don't want to, we want to make sure that we have something that's flame resistant. You know, we need to make sure that those rugs have the rating. And then let's see, as far as decorations and anything that's hanging on the walls, it's, if you look at a wall in a school building, only 20% of the wall surface area can be covered by anything with paper or any other decorations. If it's a non-sprinklered building, if it's a sprinklered building, it is allowed to go up to 50% of the wall area. However, we do want to limit it because sprinkler systems are very effective in controlling fires. Basically, the statistics show that 96% of the time, sprinkler systems are effective in controlling fires, and that's all buildings, whether it's educational buildings or industrial or commercial. Of those failures, 60% of the failures are due to the system being shut off. And so we want to make sure that even though we get a sense of security with a sprinklered building, especially in schools, we don't want to overdo the decorations that are on the walls.
Right. And that would include things like, you know, conference championship banners and flags and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. The banners, the ribbons, anything that the kids made, snowflakes in the wintertime hanging from the ceilings. And because one of the things we, even though it's a sad fact, we have a sense of security when it comes to fires. But when we do the statistics, 38% of all school fires are intentional. And that's started by children. The majority of them are younger children that are curious about fire. And they actually fall into four psychological profiles. So the curious fire setter, the kids in crisis, the delinquent children, and then the rare case of the pathological fire setter.
Okay.
And we want to make sure that even though those things happen, and usually they don't happen in the classroom. Usually there's a way, like a bathroom or something, where the fire gets started, where the kid doesn't want to be seen starting those fires. We want to make sure that we're aware that there are, you know, 4 out of 10 school fires are started intentionally. And we want to make sure that we limit any chance of fire spread from those fires especially.
Sure. Now, I would think there are some areas of the school that would be more particularly fire dangerous to. I'm thinking art rooms and chemistry and science classrooms, those kind of things.
Oh, yeah. And there are standards, especially the science classrooms now. There's more safety standards in dealing with the chemicals and dealing with anything that can start a fire, as well as the fires that start in the kitchen. 20% of all school fires are cooking related. And then, like most recently, this one happened in 2014. So in Racine, the Mitchell School fire, it was a Thursday. It was wee hours of the morning, Thursday, February 27th of 2014. It was a heating fire. So it was in an area in the gym that started the fire up there. It actually caused a ceiling collapse. And this one kind of hits home with me. I have friends on the Racine Fire Department, and one of my friends was actually in the gym and had just gone through, and he was only steps outside of the gym when the ceiling actually collapsed.
Oh, man.
So this is one of the reasons, this is why it hits home for me, good friend of mine. And we don't want that to happen. I mean, it was lucky that it didn't happen later in the day. It happened before school started. So the ceiling collapse may have happened, you know, after everybody was out, and no worries after that. But we want to make sure that all potential school fires, anything that can potentially start a school fire, is we can alleviate those dangers.
All right. Now, the fire department monthly report came out earlier this week. And one of the things I mentioned in there is school bus safety too. You want to talk about that as long as you're here?
Yeah, school bus safety, because we want to make sure the danger zones, if I remember that picture correctly, the biggest danger zones are in the front of the bus and to the immediately to the sides. We want to make sure, because it is a law, even for fire trucks and ambulances, we have to stop for the, if we're going red lights and siren, if there's a school bus and the stop sign is out and the red lights are flashing, we have to stop. And we want to make sure that we are stopped for school buses when they're stopped. The school bus drivers have a lot of training on making sure that the kids are clear. Any children who are listening today, make sure that you, when you exit the bus, make sure you exit away from the bus. Don't go in front of the bus. Don't go to the side of the bus. Walk away from the bus. And any parents that are waiting for their kids, make sure that you are teaching bus safety to your children.
And this is something that, some people know, I think, and some people don't, but bus drivers can write down your license number and they can call it in. And you'll get a ticket.
Oh, yeah. Then they'll take care of that with the police department. And I don't know how much the ticket is, but I can only imagine it's probably pretty expensive. And plus, it adds points to your driver's license. So make sure to always make sure to stop for the bus that has the red lights and stop sign flashing.
It seems to me it's like $160-some fine,
okay.
I think, plus points.
Yeah.
It's because that's about what the minimum of any fine is, I think, anymore.
Right.
So
they get expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. So what else is going on?
Not much. Things have been busy at the fire department, and we're just gearing up for Fire Prevention Month coming up in October. So we're going to have a meeting about that tomorrow, and planning our Fire Prevention Week open house. So I'm sure I'll be back next month, so we can start talking about that and talking about fire safety in general. Probably have a longer list in front of me than I have right now, so we'll have to figure out what we need to talk about next month.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, thanks for coming in. Always informative and always enjoy our chats.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rick.
Community Conversation this morning with Captain Kenny Aslan with the West Bend Fire Department. We'll hit some news here on 101.3 WIBD and AM 1470.
AM 1470 is W.